And it's a very important day today. The first Friday of August is always International Beer Day. Pale ale, stout, wheat lager, even mango-infused wheat-based beer are all examples of some of the most delicious brew that you can find. Four little ingredients make up an amazing nectar, and today is absolutely the day to celebrate it. Let's talk about beer closer to home, though. What kind of association does Sydney have with beer? Well, joining me in the studio is historian Mark Dunn. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, not at all. Always up early on International Beer Day.
Who wouldn't be? I mean, the proud tradition of breakfast beers Absolutely. That we appear to have lost. Tell me a little bit about Sydney and beer.
Well, Sydney and beer, I think, go hand in hand. Anyone who goes out now knows that, but historically speaking, it's the case as well.
Fantastic.
When Europeans arrive in 1788, they don't bring any beer with them because in the 18th century, it doesn't last as well as it does now.
It doesn't travel too well, does it? No.
One, you can't help but drink it. Two, it obviously goes off and becomes a liquid poison. So for the first 5 years, there's a little bit of a beer drought, if you will.
Shocking stuff.
It is. They're drinking various other spirits and things. And then this convict who had come in the first fleet, James Squire, puts his hand up and says, actually, I can make this stuff if you want me to. And the governor goes, that would be just great.
Is so that the real deal?
That is the real deal.
Just a bit of an ad campaign.
No. I'm assuming whoever started James Squire Brewery had some historian on board who said, you know, we could use this guy because he's actually a real thing.
Wow.
So yes, he was a convict, and he started growing wheat and barley and making some pretty small scale beers in 1793 in the city.
Wow.
And was quite successful, so successful, in fact, that he brewed on and off in Sydney for another 37 years and became our first major brewer. He was granted some land on the Parramatta River at Kissing Point near Ryde.
Yep.
He had quite a big farm there, and he ended up planting out wheat and barley and the whole thing along the riverbanks, as well as orchards and apples and oranges and all sorts of other things. And being the entrepreneur that he was, he built a brewery on that site. Then he built a small inn and he built a wharf. So with the main transport between Sydney and Parramatta then being by river, he was halfway. So people would stop and resupply their boats and have a few beers. So James Squire is the real deal. And
a very clever man.
And a very clever man.
Wow.
He was followed quite soon after by a guy called John Boston, another one that's reappeared recently on labels.
Yeah.
Now, John Boston, the current label, does claim that he was our first brewer, but I'm sorry to say he was not.
Sorry, John.
He was our first free settler brewer, I suppose, if you want, but he was there in 1795 and he went bust within 12 months. Yeah, so it was,
couldn't stand up against the Squire Empire.
No. It was a tough gig brewing beers in Sydney in the early colony. So by 1810, though, so we're here, what, Europeans have been here by then. What's that, 2 to 20 years, there had been, there were 8 breweries in Sydney by then. Some had been and gone, but, you know, there were 8. By 1804, so there was our first, and this is a sad day.
Oh, okay.
Because we talk about, with our current federal government talking about innovation, exciting times to be Australians and the rest. Well, in 1804, we had our first and only government-owned brewery opened in Sydney.
Government-owned brewery.
In Parramatta.
Wow.
Yes. They were trying to do some sort of quality control on beer. Again, didn't go so well because you've got people like James Squire who are making it better up the road. So they were gone within 12 months too. But you can see in the first sort of 20-odd years, there's all this sort of trying to find their feet, if you like.
Absolutely. It would have been a big economy, I'm assuming, at the time.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, your options really for drinking in colonial Australia are water or hard spirits.
Mm.
That's it, pretty much. Well, you could drink milk, I suppose, if you could get your hands on a couple of cows. But
always a dairy somewhere.
There's a dairy.
Always a dairy somewhere.
But really, beer's quite... through the process that it was made, it was something that was reasonably healthy, so long as you didn't drink too much of it. And it was drunk sort of through the day. So it's not just something after work you knock off and have a few beers. It actually was something that they were kind of drinking, which brings its problems.
Many problems, I can imagine. Yes.
There were plenty of people who had issues in their day-to-day life that I'm sure were drinking a little bit too much, not unlike now.
Yeah, it's not unlike now.
Mm. So it goes on like this. I mean, 1828, we've been here 40-odd years. There's 10 breweries in Sydney, and there's been six that have been closed, and on and on and on. And by the 1880s, there are 23 breweries operating in Sydney. And then it all falls over, totally.
What? Completely?
Totally. So by the end of World War One, there's only three. So within a space of 30 years, we lose 20 breweries.
How did we survive with only three?
Well, we survive because there's three massive breweries. That's the thing. So we end up with Tooth's, which is just across the road here. It was the Kent Brewery, which is now the, whatever it's called over there, Central Park or something.
Central Park Shopping Centre.
Yes. The gate there still has their white horse logo on it.
It does. It does.
That opened in the 1830s across the road, so it went for close to 170 years across the road. There was Tooey's, who opened in the 1860s down near Central Station on Elizabeth Street.
Yeah.
And there was Resch's, who had their brewery at South Dowling Street.
And it was, for a while, the official drink beer drink of New South Wales.
It was. It was the beer we drink around here. And the reason we went from 23 to 3 was because those three basically bought all the others out and just amalgamated and took them over and shut them down and various things like that. So all the others go out of business and we have three sort of massive... And this happened all over. This happened in Victoria and Queensland and a whole lot. So all those little breweries get wiped out. The thing that then happens with having just three breweries is that the whole culture just becomes that sort of three brewery system. In fact, we really technically only have two because Resch's then gets bought out by Tooth's.
Oh, wow.
But they just keep operating as Resch's, as sort of a subsidiary. But the breweries then buy up all the pubs. So we have this, what we call a tied system. Mm-hmm. So basically the hotels were tied into selling the product that the brewery supplied.
You'll still see some names around. In fact, the KB Hotel in Surry Hills only just turned into the Keg and Brew.
I know.
Obviously, it was the KB
it
only.
It was.
Yeah.
It was the KB. And the KB, that's another funny thing about the breweries, because they start to name a few beers around to sort of get some promotional material happening. So we have Sydney Bitter and things like this, and you have KB, which is Kent Brewery, which is across the road.
Well, kids beer, as I always taught
kids
when I was
beer.
A kid. Yeah.
Well, it was better than when they started, because when they first released that product, it was about 1910 or so, and they were going to call it Tooth's Brew or Tooth's Beer, which they did. And now various people who collect stuff always look for the early bottles of Tooth's Beer because the label was TB.
Oh.
But in 1910... calling your product TB when tuberculosis was killing half the population is not a good thing.
That would be what we'd call these days a marketing fail.
Yes. so they changed it to Kent Beer, which became KB.
Amazing
stuff. Yeah. So there's so the breweries have all that up until the 1970s. Then they get rid of the tied hotels. And then, of course, in the last, 10 years... so many microbreweries and smaller ones have started to reappear.
We've reversed. We're seeing the explosion of small breweries again.
We have. And the three big brewers, Tooth, Tooey's and Resch's, have all gone from Sydney.
Oh. Mark, that was absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.
Not at all. It will give some people a solid base to drink on today, I hope.
I hope so. I hope you've got a few stories out of that for the pub, because if you're not telling that after three beers in, you've missed your calling on that one. I'm going to call that the definitive history of beer in Sydney. Mark, thank you very much.
Not at all, Nick.